What does it mean to be totally accepting, blessing, and grateful? These last three of the five attitudes of God are not quite as clear to me as I'd like them to be, especially three and four.
To be totally accepting means not to quarrel with what is showing up right now. It means not to reject it or throw it back or walk away from it, but to embrace it, hold it, love it as if it were your own. Because it is your own. It is your own creation with which you are well pleased, unless you are not. If you are not, you will resist owning what you have created, and what you resist persists. Therefore, rejoice. Be glad. And should the present circumstance or condition be one which you now choose to change, simply choose to experience it in another way. The outward appearance, the outward manifestation may not be altered at all, but your inner experience of it can and will be changed forever, simply out of your decision about it. Remember, this is what you are after. You are not concerned with outer appearances, only with your inner experience. Let the outer world be what it is. Create your inner world as you would have it be. This is what is meant by being in your world, but not of it. This is mastery in living.
Let me get this straight. You should accept anything, even those things you disagree with?
Accepting something does not mean refusing to change it. In fact, the opposite is true. You cannot change that which you do not accept, in yourself especially, and outside of yourself as well. Accept everything, therefore, as the divine manifestation of the divinity within you. Then you declare yourself to be its creator, and only then can you uncreate it. Only then can you recognize, that is, know again, the power within you to create something new.
To accept something is not to agree with it. It is simply to embrace it, whether you agree with it or not.
You would have us embrace the devil himself, wouldn't you?
How else will you heal him?
We've had this exchange before.
Yes, and we will have it again. Over and over will I share with you these truths. Over and over will you hear them until you hear them. If you catch me repeating myself, it is because you are repeating yourself. You are repeating every behavior, every action, every thought, which has brought you over and over again to sadness, to misery, to defeat. Yet the victory can be won, the victory over this devil of yours. Of course, there is no devil. As we've also discussed many times before, we are speaking metaphorically here. How can you heal that which you will not even hold? You must first hold something firmly in your grasp, firmly in your reality, before you can let it go.
I'm not sure I understand. Help me to understand that.
You cannot drop something you do not hold. Therefore, behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. God is totally accepting. Humans are very accepting. Humans love each other except when those others do this or do that. They love their world except when it does not please them. They love me except when they don't. God is not accepting. God is accepting of everyone and everything.
There are no exceptions.
Being totally accepting sounds a lot like being totally loving.
It is all the same thing. We are using different words to describe the same experience. Love and acceptance are interchangeable concepts. In order to change something, you must first accept that it is there. In order to love something, you must do the same thing. You cannot love the part of yourself that you claim is not there, that you disown. You disowned many parts of yourself that you do not wish to claim. In disclaiming those parts of yourself, you have made it impossible to totally love yourself, and thus to totally love another.
Deborah Ford wrote a wonderful book on this subject called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. It's about people who are seeking the light but don't know how to deal with their own darkness, don't see the gift there. I recommend this book to everybody. It can really change lives. It explains in very clear and understandable terms why acceptance is such a blessing.
It is a blessing. Without it, you would be damning yourself and others. Yet through love and acceptance, you bless all those whose lives you touch. When you become totally loving and totally accepting, you become totally blessing. And this renders you and everyone else totally joyful. Everything flows together. Everything connects to everything else. And you are beginning to see and to understand that all of the five attitudes of God are really one and the same. They are what God is. The aspect of God that is totally blessing is that aspect which condemns nothing. In God's world, there is no such thing as condemnation, only commendation. You are all to be commended for the work you are doing, for the job you are doing, getting to know and to experience who you really are.
Whenever anything bad would happen around my mother, she would always say, God bless it. Everyone else would say, God damn it, but Mom would say, God bless it. One day I asked her, why? She looked at me as if she couldn't quite comprehend how I could ask the question. Then, with the love and patience of one explaining something to a very small child, she answered, I don't want God to damn it. I want God to bless it. That's the only thing that'll make it any better.
Your mother was a very aware person. She understood many things.
Go now and bless all things in your life. Remember, I have sent you nothing but angels, and I have brought you nothing but miracles.
But how does one go about blessing things? I don't understand what that's about. I don't know what those words mean.
You give something your blessing when you give it your best energies, your highest thoughts.
I should give my best energies, my highest thoughts, to things I hate, like war, violence, greed, people who are unkind, policies that are inhumane? I don't understand. I can't give these things my blessing.
But it is precisely your best energies and your highest thoughts which those things need if they are to be changed. Do you not understand? You change nothing by condemning it. Indeed, you literally condemn it to be repeated.
I'm not to condemn wanton killing, rampant prejudice, widespread violence, unchecked greed?
You are to condemn nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. Have I not sent my teachers to tell you, judge not, and neither condemn?
Yet if we condemn nothing, we seem to be approving of everything.
Failure to condemn does not mean failure to seek change. Because you have not condemned something does not mean that you approve of it. It simply means that you refuse to judge it. You may still, on the other hand, choose something else. A choice to change does not always have to come out of anger. In fact, your chances of effecting very real change rises in direct proportion to the decrease in your anger. Humans often use anger as their justification to seek change and judgments as their justification for anger. You have created a lot of drama around this, perceiving injury in order to justify your judgments. Many of you end your relationships this way. You have not learned the art of simply saying, I am complete. The present form of this relationship no longer serves me. You insist on first perceiving injury, then moving into judgment, then coming from anger in order to somehow justify the change you seek to make. It is as if without anger, you cannot have what you want. You cannot change what you don't like. So you build up all sorts of drama around it. Now I tell you this, bless, bless, bless your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you. Send them your best energies and your highest thoughts. You will not be able to do this unless you see every person and every life circumstance as a gift, as an angel, and a miracle. When you do, you will move into the fullness of gratitude. You will be totally grateful. The fifth attitude of God. And the circle will be complete.
This is an important element, isn't it, this feeling of gratitude?
Yes. Gratitude is the attitude that changes everything. To be grateful for something is to stop resisting it, to see it and acknowledge it as a gift, even when the gift is not immediately apparent. In addition, as you have already been taught, gratitude for an experience, condition, or outcome in advance is a powerful tool in the creation of your reality and a sure sign of mastery.
It is so powerful that I think the fifth attitude should almost have been listed first.
In fact, The magnificence of the five attitudes of God is that, like the seven steps to friendship with God, their order may be reversed. God is totally grateful, blessing, accepting, loving, and joyful.
This is a great place for me to mention my favorite prayer, the most powerful prayer I ever heard. Thank you, God, for helping me to understand that this problem has already been solved for me.
Yes, that is a powerful prayer. The next time you are confronted with a condition or circumstance you judge to be problematical, express your immediate gratitude not only for the solution, but for the problem itself. By so doing, you instantly change your perspective on it and your attitude about it. Next, bless it, just as your mother did. Give it your best energies and your highest thought. In this, you make it your friend and not your enemy. That which supports you, rather than that which opposes you. Then, accept it, and resist not evil. For what you resist persists. Only what you accept can you change. Now, envelop it with love. Whatever you are experiencing, you can literally love any undesired experience away. In a sense, you can love it to death. Finally, be joyful, for the exact and perfect outcome is at hand. Nothing can take your joy away from you, for joy is who you are and who you will always be. So in the face of every problem, do a joyful thing.
Kind of like Anna in the musical King and I. Whenever I feel afraid, I hold my head erect and whistle a happy tune so no one will suspect I'm afraid. Remember that? I whistle a happy tune, and every single time she sang, the happiness in the tune convinces me that I'm not afraid.
There you have it. You have it perfectly.
I have a friend who uses these attitudes every day, in every moment. He heals other people by helping them to see how easily and quickly they could change their attitudes and showing them what a difference such a change will make in their lives. His name is Jerry Jampolsky, Gerald G. Jampolsky, M.D., to be formal, and he wrote a groundbreaking book called Love is Letting Go of Fear. Jerry founded the Center for Attitudinal Healing in Sausalito, California. There are now over 130 such centers in cities around the world. I've never known a kinder, more gentle man. He holds a positive attitude about everything, everything. In his home, I have never heard a discouraging word. In this, he's remarkable, and his attitude about life is inspiring. Nancy and I were spending several days with Jerry and his wonderful and accomplished wife, Diane Cirincione, when, as life would have it, I found myself experiencing a personality clash with one of his other house guests. I'm sorry to say that I was not on top of it during this time. Tired and drained from many months on the road, I was not dealing with the situation very peacefully. Jerry saw that I was agitated, and he asked if there was anything he could do to help. As anyone who knows him will tell you, this is a common question from Jerry whenever he sees anyone around him experiencing any kind of discomfort. I told him that I was having some negative feelings about an earlier interaction with the other house guest, and Jerry immediately suggested that it might be beneficial to sit down with himself, Diane, and the other person to take a look at it and see what it would take to heal it. Then he asked me a probing question. Do you want to heal it, or do you want to hang on to the negative feelings? I told him I didn't think I was making a conscious decision to hold on to the negativity, but that I was having some trouble getting past it. Well, everything is going to depend here on your attitude about it, Jerry replied in a very kind, quiet voice. There's probably something very positive going to come from all this. Let's look to see what it is. We had the talk he suggested, and with his facilitation and Diane's, the other house guest and I took the first steps on the road back to love. I was really grateful to have Jerry around during a time when I just plain lost touch with my center and who I really am. Without taking sides, without making judgments, without any drastic interventions, other than a continuing suggestion to look at things in a different way and give myself permission to see another's point of view, Diane and Jerry not only played a huge role in healing the moment, but gave me tools with which to apply attitudinal healing principles to everyday life. Not all of us can be lucky enough to be around Jerry Jampolsky when we're having a rough moment, but we can be around Jerry's wisdom. That's why I'm so excited about his new book, Forgiveness, The Greatest Healer of All. What makes Jerry Jampolsky stand out is his remarkable attitude. It heals everything in sight. It even healed Jerry's sight. It happened that during the time we spent together, Jerry was experiencing some medical complications involving his eyesight, which was deteriorating. In fact, on one of the days we were there, he was scheduled to have some outpatient surgery, and there was a real possibility that the procedure could cause his eyesight to be diminished rather than improved. In fact, there was a chance he might lose his sight in one eye altogether. None of this seemed to bother Jerry. He wasn't giving it a second thought. He simply wasn't going to dwell on it. He avoided any discussion of it during the days before the surgery, and I remember that he left for the hospital with the biggest smile. "Everything is going to be just fine," he announced, "no matter how it turns out." I learned something that day from a master.